Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading comes from Holy Tuesday, 2 days after Jesus' triumphal Palm Sunday entry. In the leaders' outrage, Jesus received the praise of men as the promised Christ, and so they confront Jesus with questions to trap him. And they aren't trying to win a Bible trivia game. And what you heard was the last of the three. This also, the last public teaching of Jesus, his last public words before the cross. Even more from here forward, it will be from private groups. Last public sermon. It's noteworthy. What does he preach? About faith, love, and to rightly confess the Christ. You know, the first question was about taxes. Is it lawful to pay Caesar? The second question about marriage and the resurrection. And Jesus confounds them with scripture. And then the third question, you heard, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, again, confounds them by quoting two Old Testament passages. Perfect summary of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You shall love your neighbors yourself. What's the Lord's will for my life? That's it. Love the Lord and my neighbor. It's that simple. And impossible. Repent for such little effort and care to live truly Christian. I mean, for which of you have said you've even come close to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? And which of us have loved our neighbors? We should. Which of you have loved family as you should? God requires perfection. And you don't get credit for trying. And even the times that you did act Christian, do not think it impresses God or earns anything. But Jesus isn't finished. What do you think about the Christ? And they respond with scripture, the son of David. Yes, a descendant of David. He responds with more scripture. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And they have nothing to say or dare ask. Why? Because Jesus is speaking the most important piece of theology this world has ever known. And it's throughout scripture. The Christ will be born of David's line, a man, and he'll be David's Lord God. 100% God, eternal, 100% man, born of woman, in one person. He pre-exists David and created David. And this teaching is the very heart of the Christian confession. Who is Jesus? It exposes errors and false teaching, lies. We rejoice this morning to be given the answer by the Lord himself. So our Lord's last words to the Pharisees, to the temple, to his enemies, to the crowds, is word of his two natures, word they reject. Who is Jesus? And sadly, I mean, you know some people. They still reject him to this day. But what does this mean for you? How do you rightly confess Jesus? Now, many will speak of Jesus and its lies and distorted. And many don't think about his two natures. That is why people get scandalized or confused if you tell someone, I worship a man. And also rightly, my God hung dead on a cross. You cannot separate the man and God in the one person of Jesus. And it, furthermore, it confuses people if you talk about Jesus in Genesis and showing up in the Old Testament. But he's there. It's why doctrine, the sacraments, matter. We must rightly confess Jesus. Yeah, who is Jesus? And the world and churches paint a picture of him of their own imagination and sprinkle with a few words of scripture. That he agrees with all sorts of things, who will agree with them in whatever lifestyle they choose. A Jesus who certainly wouldn't be upset and understands so many choices people make. And this can even be true in part for us. Shame on us. Who is Jesus? I mean, look at the commandments. Love God, love neighbor. Would people you go to school with, work with, interact, be shocked to learn you're a Christian? How do you confess Christ before the world in your home? How is he confessed in our marriage and family, friends? Often treating strangers with more respect. Lord, forgive us and work in us acts of love. Who is Jesus? That's to love God and neighbor. I mean, think of this analogy. If my wife says she loves me and spends almost no time at home, doesn't make it a priority to spend time with me, doesn't want to come by and hear what I have to say, doesn't listen to me, doesn't come to receive the care I want to give her, carries on with her life with plenty of reasons why she can't come home, just checking in from time to time. I mean, does she really love me? You see the point. To say you love God, you are here. To be where he is, in his house, receiving his word and gifts and joined to him in this marriage feast. Yeah. And so, why are you here today? We have all sorts of motivations for being here, and some might even be bad. You know, Pastor Bergdorf there, that's the worst. He's paid to be here. Of course, he has other motivations. Maybe you're here out of guilt if you don't. Perhaps out of habit. Maybe you're here in hopes that God will offer you more favors and not let bad things happen. Maybe because you're lonely. Maybe you were dragged here. Maybe you'd rather be somewhere else. Maybe you had nothing else to do. Here's the significant thing. You are here and Jesus is here. To say God is everywhere does not mean that he doesn't locate himself as a place, as he always has. A place to give you his gifts. Even join you to himself. Whatever reason you've had for coming today, the real reason in the end is that God led you here. And your presence is of cosmic significance. The angels see you receive the Lord's gifts and rejoice. Even more, we're joined together with the saints and our loved ones in this feast. Even more, God has made a promise to you in your baptism. As you see with Camille, he claimed you, put his name on you. You are his precious child that he wants you here. No one should steal from him. He is not here to judge you. He's here to heal you, restore you, bind your wounds, enrich you, to love and forgive you. Who is Jesus? Our lives confess this. Love and faith confessing the Christ start here, and they are given to you as no other way on the planet. And yes, then you do have work to do. But your work then is a privilege, opportunity, a gift, a freedom, because the commandments' demands have been answered in Christ. Pray, in this poor life of labor, Lord, grant that I, in every place, may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile. Let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. In the name of Jesus, amen.